Okay, well, welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's it going out there in Pow Talk Land? How y'all doing this week? Let's see. Anybody have anything they like to share before we start tonight? Anything on your heart? What's going to be got, Sister Sissy? Go ahead, Sister Sissy. You have the mic, Sister.
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Dan, it's really a question I have for you. In light of everything that's going on in this country, and you know, I've come to the place where I'm trying to detach from everything in this, as a believer in Christ. If we're to go, pursuing and pressing into the high calling, it's we're separating from all those things that that would hinder our walk. How do you actually separate from just being a part of this system in this country? I mean, I'm even looking at, when I say separating, I'm even considering things like even the financial part of it, you know, because eventually it's going to become an issue, obviously. In some cases, it's already an issue. But what's your thought on that? Maybe is my question, I think. What's your thought on that? And because the way I look at it, we are living in the kingdom of the Lord. His kingdom is not of this world, obviously. And we're not the of it, even though we're living here. And just wondering what your thought is on that. I had that on my heart all week, and I thought, should I ask him or not? But I just felt to ask that tonight. Thank you.
Okay, that's a good question. Don't know if I have a full answer for you, but I'll try to answer what, you know, as far as my view is, and my experience is. First of all, when you talk about separation from anything, whether it's people, or other Christians, or the world system, or the church system, or anything, you know, there's two kinds of separation. There's a spiritual separation, and there's a physical separation. Sometimes people have to separate from other people spiritually, but they can still live with them physically, like if you're married. And your spouse, your husband, your wife, or children, they're not serving the Lord. You can separate from them many times spiritually, have a spiritual separation there, but not yet physically stay in the same house with them. Sometimes you have to separate physically and spiritually. You've got to get away from them, period. End the relationship altogether and never see them again. But there's different kinds of separation, different levels, right? Spiritual and natural. The first kind of separation we must have with everything, whether it's people, the world, our own lives, everything in every area is spiritual. We must be spiritually separated from everything, and that includes the world. When I say that, what I mean is, you don't have your heart in anything. You're not living like the unsaved or the carnal saved Christians. The unsaved are putting their money away in the bank, saving for the future. The Christians are doing the same thing. The unsaved have their mind on their jobs and how much money they're making, and the Christians have their mind the same thing. You have to have a job, you have to work, you have to make a living until the mark of the beast comes, which is very close, I believe. Then you're going to have to make a choice whether you're going to take that mark or be left out of society. But as far as separating yourself physically from the world, that's a hard thing to do unless you're willing to go and live in some kind of farm, be self-sufficient and all that kind of stuff. You know, grow your own vegetables, be totally self-sufficient, get off the grid. Most people don't have that kind of money, don't have that kind of experience. Some of them throw in with other groups who do. There's people, you know, there's little groups all over the United States who are, you know, patriots or whatever, they're survivalists, or some Christians, some not, whatever, and they're, you know, they're off the grid, they're living off the land, they're getting ready to, live totally out of the system. Well, if that's the way God's leading you, then you got to do that. God's not leading us to do that. We're just not farmers, you know, we're just not farmers. And when the time comes to get out of the system or else take the mark, we're going to get out. And if God doesn't supernaturally sustain us, then our goose is cooked. That's all there is to it. But I tell you what I believe, really, right now, the main thing that separates you from the world is a spiritual, mental, emotional, moral separation from the world. Separation from all the way the world does things and all the way the world sees things. And that includes the United States, your citizenship, patriotism, and all that kind of stuff, which is what the Lord seems to be dealing with you on, or have dealt with you on. So I personally, we're not out of the system like that, like you're talking about. We still have electricity, we still pay our bills, still working, or, you know, unemployment or whatever. But there is coming a time when people have to make your choice. There is going to be a literal mark. It's very close. And it could happen overnight. It might take another 5 or 6 years, but it could happen overnight. And once that happens, we're all going to have to make our choice, you know. And we're going to be out of the system if we choose God. That's all there is to it. You're going to be out of the system. If God doesn't supernaturally protect you, you're dead. Unless you have already established yourself in a way of life that is self-sufficient, basically, you know. So as far as the world, as far as I'm concerned, my personal experience is I'm going to be in here and doing what everybody else does as far as just living. I'm not going to go off and try and live in a cave somewhere. But when the mark comes down and when the push comes to shove, that's it. We're going to be out of the system. We're going to be squeezed out, and voluntarily we're going to go, and that's it. I don't know if that answers your question at all, but I personally am not a survivalist, so I'm not out trying to keep my life, you know, make myself a place in this earth by, you know, getting off the grid and making yourself a bomb shelter and all that, you know, and grow your own crops and being self-sufficient. I'm just not where I'm at, you know. If God tells you to do that, then do it. That's fine. I'm not putting it down. But that's not what we're about. And we're just putting our faith in God that if, when the time comes, if he wants us here, I figure if we're obedient to him, we're in his will, we're doing what he wants, then if he wants us here when that time comes, he will supernaturally keep us alive without food, without medicine, all that kind of stuff. There's no other choice. There's no other option. Either he does that or we die. Right? Now, at that point, we're not at that point yet, so I'm still taking medicine. I'm still eating food. We're still buying food, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that day is coming. But I'm not trying to get out of the world in that sense right now, myself. If you feel God's calling you to do that, that's fine. You know, everybody's got to do what they feel the Lord's telling them to do. But personally, we're not doing that. Is that okay as an answer so far? Go ahead.
That's an excellent answer, because really that's along the lines that I was thinking. The Lord hasn't called me to become a survivalist either. It's nothing like that. It's just but I realize that it's a spiritual preparation that we really, that he's leading me to a real spiritual preparation for the times that are coming. It's what I've been praying for too, and asking him to prepare me in that area, in that realm. I think that's more important than the physical, obviously. That's just the way I see it too. And that's the primary concern. It should be our spiritual life. It's more than anything else that's here, that's temporal and passing anyway. Thanks so much, Dan. God bless.
Okay. How about anybody else? Anybody else have anything before we start? Holly Dog says, I've been through Jeremiah, and as I read, I feel that the same gross darkness God brought on Israel is about to come in this nation too. Amen. I agree, Brian. Well, should we do a song? I only got one song tonight for you guys. We can do a song if you want before we go, before we start off here. Called My Life Is in You, Lord. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you. I'll praise you with all of my life. I'll praise you with all my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength, all my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you. I'll praise you with all of my life. I'll praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength, all my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, in you. I'll praise you with all of my life.
with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength, all my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, and you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord, and you.
Like that. Let's see. This week, someone emailed me with a question regarding the proper relationship between faith and divine healing. And he also asked me something about what Paul taught in Romans chapter 9 about the potter has power to make the clay whatever he wants. You know, some vessels honor, some vessels dishonor. And so I wanted to address those questions. I want to address both those questions in this chat room tonight. More than just that person who emailed me would benefit from the answer. But I think I'm only going to be able to get through the question about faith and healing tonight, because I ended up being quite a bit. So we're going to do the question on the relationship between faith and divine healing tonight. And next week, I'll do the thing on Romans 9. And before I start, is Jim here? Jim, yeah, Jim. This has nothing to do with you. Somebody else emailed me about this. I'm saying that because Jim and I had a little conversation back and forth the other week on divine healing. And we didn't agree at first, but I think we came to sort of an agreement at the end. But this has nothing to do with our dialogue, Jim. This is somebody else wrote me and they asked me about these things, okay? So don't think I'm preaching at you or anything, all right, brother? I just wanted to answer this publicly so it's on record, because I get people often asking me the same questions over and over again. You know, instead of writing long emails or giving long dissertations, you know, I'm just going to put a couple of these things up in my chat room, just refer them to the chat room. Let me begin by picking up where I ended last week. If you remember, I said last week that the old wrecking yourself dead doctrine from back in the 60s, that error has apparently been repackaged and is now being advanced under the idea of the banner of coming into the fullness of Christ, going on perfection, whatever. And I gave the name of a particular website last week that's advancing that error. And the name of that website is Christ as Us. Now, this week, I visited another website. The name of it's called Lovest Thou Me. It's operated by a woman who used to come to this chat room. And about a year and a half ago, she got offended, very offended at me, when I exposed some of the errors of her friend, Stella Patterson. Her friend, Stella Patterson, has a website, and she's preaching some very bad errors on that site. And this woman who runs the Lovest Thou Me website is linked to her, is a friend of hers, promoting her. And so when I came out against some of the errors Parson was teaching, the owner of this other site went into orbit, went ballistic, you know, and really turned on me. This person presents herself as someone who's, you know, has real spiritual discernment, and understands the plan of God, understands what it means to go into perfection, all that kind of stuff. But she revealed that at that time a serious lack of discernment when she turned a deaf ear to the warning about the errors, the very serious errors of her friend. So I wasn't surprised this week to find that she's now recommending several other ministries in addition to Stella Patterson who are teaching major errors. And one of them is none other than the Christ as Us website. Another one is called Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and it's operated by a Dominionist teacher named Glenn Jackson. And I just wonder if this woman actually reads or understands the doctrines of these ministers that she's propagating, that she's recommending and linking to. I don't know. I mean, how could she miss the central point of the writers featured on the Christ as Us website, which, as we have no sin nature? How could she miss the Dominionist views of Mr. Jackson? I have no idea. I don't know if she's just being too lazy to actually study the teachings of these people before she recommends them, or if she's really that gullible and that lacking in discernment. I don't know. I think maybe part of the problem is the attitude she manifested when I exposed her friend. And the attitude was, hey, none of us are perfect yet. None of us have perfect doctrine. You know, we're all works in progress. We're all on the same path, but on different places on that path. You know, so we shouldn't be so critical and judgmental towards others who have not advanced as far down the path as we have. The question I had for her is the question I have for everybody who thinks like that still is, exactly when does a person cross a line from simply being, quote, not perfect to being a false teacher? I mean, how much error does a person have to be propagating before this woman will consider them too dangerous to recommend to the rest of the body? Recommending a ministry to the rest of the brethren, that's a very serious issue in the eyes of God, people. The blood of your fellow believers will be on your head if we are careless about who we recommend to them. If we recommend people who are preaching error to them, God's going to hold us responsible if people get involved in their error and end up destroyed. You know, when you direct people to teachers or preachers or ministers who are preaching error, and people end up getting deceived as a result of being directed to them by you, you're going to be held accountable for that. You know, so we need to be careful who we recommend to other people. You know, if you want to recommend somebody, unless you really think their doctor's pretty right on, put a disclaimer in there. You know, and don't just send people blindly to people's websites and stuff. Even though it's our duty to discern ourselves, that still is not going to absolve us from our part in sending people to other ministries who are preaching deception. You know, and that's what this woman's doing. And not just her, but many other people out here doing that. It's really stupid. Anyway, Glenn Jackson, the owner of the Jesus is Lord website, which this lady is recommending to and linking to, he is personal friends with, and he ministers with, and he's endorsed by Bill and Marcia Burns. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of the name Bill or Marcia Burns. You know who they are, but they're a very integral part of the new Apostolic Reformation. And one of Bill's more serious errors that he teaches, within line with his dominionism and stuff, is the gatekeeper teaching, which is a very occult-oriented activity that's being accepted by many of today's revival churches. The gatekeeper thing is a very dangerous, dangerous error because it's really just a Christian version of an ancient occult practice. So I go through this in one of my books. I go through that in part 4 of my Babylon Rising series. So if you're ever interested in knowing what the gatekeeper doctrine is and you don't know it, you can always go there and read part 4 of my Babylon Rising series. It's very dangerous, very deadly, totally false. It's straight out of the occult. Okay? So apparently Mr. Jackson has about as much spiritual discernment as the owner of the Lovest Thou Me website does. Does he fail to denounce this gatekeeper error, which is one of Bill Burns' primary messages? He endorses that ministry. Okay? Now, Bill Burns wrote a book called The Third Day Church. And it's all this new apostolic stuff, you know. The Great Revival, the End Time Revival, all the stuff that, you know, none of us believe, really. He wrote a book all about called The Third Day Church. And Mr. Jackson wrote the foreword to that book. And this is what he says in the foreword to Bill Burns' book. Okay, he says, quote, "I was introduced to the ministry of Bill and Marcia Burns by the Holy Spirit in the very late fall of 1997. Since that time, we have come to know each other very well, even to the point of actually working closely together with many different precious saints to carry out our part, both individually and corporately, in the establishing of the glorious church in this hour. From the time I first heard Bill minister the Word of God, I have gained a deep and profound revelation that he is a very important tool in the hands of the Father for the task of painting a clear picture in the hearts of God's people of the true Christian life and the powerful and glorious third-day church that we are called to be. It is extremely important in these days for every last child of God who truly desires to fulfill the precious calling upon their life and ministry to continually seek after a deep and abiding revelation of the Father's desire for a spotless and unblemished church. With these things in view, Bill has been commissioned by the Father to put together a foundational outline pertaining to the entrance of the church into the third day of Christ, a day of perfect rest and power. It is very important for one to understand that in this last of the last hours, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through the holy and righteous people shall begin to increase to a continually greater degree. As the Word of God is ministered to hearts that are wholly given, the impartation that takes place is one in which the hearer receives the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and then in that place of intimate fellowship with the Father, that the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is able to enlighten their heart and reveal precisely that which is necessary for them to carry out their part in the plan with pinpoint accuracy. Bill has done a fine job of various types and symbols, types and shadows, really, from the Old Testament together with the clear, distinct declarations of Jesus, Paul, and the other apostles relating to the fullness of the Father's will concerning the bride of Christ and her entrance into the fullness of his glory. It is my earnest and fervent prayer that as you read and meditate on the words and scriptures in this book, you will be elevated above and beyond all the mindsets of attitudes of the past which have kept the church in a place of powerlessness and weakness compared with her soon coming glory. May the Father bless you continually with deep insight into the fullness of his plan for the third day church and your perfect part in this most critical and glorious hour. Glenn Jackson, Jesus is Lord Ministry. So, I just want to tell you that to give you an idea that this Glenn Jackson is very close to Bill Burns. He's very involved in the Third Day Church, the whole end time revival thing, all these revival churches, this whole thing about dominionism, establishing the king before Jesus returns. And Jackson teaches his own brand of dominionism on his site. And he has written a book too, an e-book. The name of that book is The Father's Plan for the Establishment of the Glorious Church and His Kingdom. And that book is divided into three parts. And in it, he lays out his view of what God is doing this hour. And, it's, you know, I don't want to get into it. That's not beside the point, but it's to give you the main idea. The main idea is this. God's raising up something he calls environments. And environments, and these environments are physical locations of solitude where people can go to be with the Lord alone. And the people who go to these environments, they're going to be the ones who are called to lead the coming end-time revival. They're going to go to these places of refuge, be separated entirely unto the Lord and the Word for their season, as for a season of preparation. And then according to Mr. Jackson, the people who go to these environments and get prepared, they're going to come out, you know, super Christians, okay, with all this power and glory. And they're going to produce the end times revival. They're going to bring in the harvest. They're going to produce the kingdom and all this, right? He says wave after wave of believers will be filled with a deep revelation of who they are in Christ in these secret environments. They're going to have a clear revelation of the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. Remember that term, the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. And they're going to realize who they are in Christ and what the fullness of their inheritance is. And they're going to be fully prepared to go forth and then teach others about their inheritance. And as this process builds momentum and grows in numbers, it's going to eventually wreak havoc on Satan and overthrow his kingdom. And the glorious church is going to finally rise in the earth. Okay, this is before Jesus comes now. This is without Jesus. And the one who wrote the foreword to Mr. Jackson's book here, where he lays out his vision, is Bill Burns, of course. Okay, this is what Bill Burns says of Glenn Jackson. You know, all these false prophets and apostles, they promote each other. Okay, and then pat each other in the back and recommend each other, right? He says, it has been our privilege to not only know Glenn Jackson, but to work with him in the ministry. Glenn has dedicated his life to Jesus and the ministry to which he has been called. The Lord has given Glenn a revelation of the glorious local church. Glenn's commission is to equip the saints according to the wisdom that the Father has given him. This book contains that which he has heard in the inner chamber and will provide a firm foundation of apostolic truth to those who desire to become part of the glorious church. The present church, for the most part, is but a mere shadow of the first century church. Most churches are powerless because they lack apostolic truth and direction. It is for this reason that God has raised up a clarion voice in these last days to prepare the way for the glorious church to arise. This revelation will equip those faithful believers who desire to be part of the glorious church, which God desires to establish in every community around the world. These churches will become equipping centers where everyone in attendance will be prepared for the work of the ministry. Glenn has brought forth a much-needed revelation of the Father's plans to establish these centers, which will be spiritual habitations in which the Lord himself will dwell. These are the last days, and the time is short. The Lord Jesus is preparing his bride to be a glorious church, having neither spot or wrinkle. It will be a church that is empowered with apostolic authority, and this book will show you the way into the heart of God, and there you shall be changed from glory to glory to the image of the glorious one. Out of the ashes of the dead religious systems of man, the glorious church will rise, and you can be part of it. Okay? Now, it doesn't take a particularly high dose of spiritual discernment to realize what kind of error this guy Jackson is propagating. I mean, really, all you have to do is go to one page, his Who Am I page. You just go to read one page, that will tell you he's heading in the wrong direction. Because on his Who Am I page, he gives his little testimony and how he got converted, and then he goes on to relate the vision God has given him all these years. This is what he says, this is Avin.